This is the Age Real Footy Podcast. Coming up, another calamitous week at the AFL. We talk Dusty, danger, and a big Friday night clash. Plus, who will make the eight and a very large dinner bill, and much, much more.
Danaher's in the goal square, is about to jump. Danaher has just taken mark of the year.
Inside 50, played on, Smith's kick is offline, is it?
Oh, it is.
Nice miss.
It is.
Why did he play on?
Dalhouse ran into a wall to Pickham to Bontempelli. A swinging left footer for a magnificent Bulldogs goal.
Hello and welcome. My name is Michael Gleeson, and with me, back in the chair, Caro, welcome back.
Nice Bonjour. To see you. Nice to see you. Okay, no more French gags. Okay. Good to see you.
Although well, there will be French gags. We've got a French gag over there at the moment.
We're about to talk about Gillon McLachlan, aren't we? Yeah. And Sam McClure's here too. G'day, Sam.
Hello, Caro, Gleese.
Hello, Troy. How are you?
Well, the nickname debacle.
Well, what a week, Caro. You've arrived back in the country to a completely different AFL.
Yeah, well, it's obviously a remarkable set of circumstances where we're now talking about who is going to fill one of the most important, probably the second most important role in footy, which is that of the footy operations manager, a role held in the past by names such as Alan Schwab, Ian Collins, Andrew Demetriou, and obviously most recently Adrian Anderson, and most recently Simon Lefleen. It's a disaster for the AFL, whichever way you look at it.
Coming on the back of Ali Fahua as well.
Yep.
You've got the commercial operations manager also going. What did you think of the decision for them to go?
Look, I think in the end it was the only decision they could make. And I know there's been a bit of a backlash this week after the very definitive sort of announcement by Gillon McLachlan on the eve of the previous round of footy games. Gillon, I think, equivocated by Saturday. He was hurting. He was just falling back into that role of being so upset about his mates and their wives and his staff that he really couldn't be as authoritative on Saturday, last Saturday, as he was on the Friday. Simon Lefleen, I think, took until Friday to understand that he was finished, certainly for now. I think he felt that maybe he might lose the women's job, or he might be stood down for a while, suspended, pending, you know, working on his marriage, counselling, whatever. But I think by Friday, people had convinced him he had to go. I think once your authority is that eroded, I don't think you can come back from that. And well, I think maybe, that in the end was their undoing.
I think, Sam, that it has much said that they're in a unique situation at the moment, the AFL, if they're addressing cultural issues about a boys' club than they are any other organisation. Where
yep.
I find it really hard to defend the idea that four people in a consenting, mature adult situation, have a relationship and they get the sack for that. There is no, it's no suggestion of intimidation, bullying or harassment. Now, I understand there's an age or power imbalance, but these are individuals that are involved in consensual relationship, and I don't see why that costs you your job, other than acknowledging the nuance, the subtlety of cultural situation at the AFL. But, gee, there'd be a lot of people out of work in companies right across Australia if that was to sweep as the policy that was applied everywhere.
I do agree, Gleese, that we're entering very grey areas when people start losing their jobs for consenting relationships. However, to play devil's advocate, I just wonder if in 3 months' time, if Gillon McLachlan was aware of these relationships, in 3 months' time, both the women involved had left the AFL. One, of course, we know Caro has, and the other one we're not sure if she'll return. And then it emerged after the fact, Gleese, that the commission became aware of it and these two women were no longer there, and yet the two executives were protected. I think that would be a much bigger media storm for Gillon McLachlan to have to face.
What do you mean by protected?
Well,
you're assuming
perhaps
there's wrongdoing
the wrong
there other than the relationship itself.
Mm. No, but there was wrongdoing in that there was dishonesty, at least in one story.
Right, but were they sacked for dishonesty?
They were sacked for a whole lot of reasons. One was a dishonesty. One was that when one was clearly had to go, the other had to go. So there was collateral damage. Three was the current climate we're working in. Four was a power imbalance. Five was the... Well, look, Gillon used four words, so we can only go by his. He used respect, integrity, caring for each other and responsibility. And on every measure, those men failed those levels. And I think it does hurt Simon Lethlean particularly that he'd been given the job of overseeing this massive influx of women into the game. I mean, it just was a... Gillen would call it optics, a terrible word. He's got to stop using it. But
it's exactly that, though, Karen.
It looked appalling. It looked terrible, particularly a much younger woman, interstate, aggrieved, had confided in her girlfriend. She'd leaked it to the media. I mean, let's not forget, this was leaked to the Herald Sun, certainly the Lethlean story. And I wonder whether this would have happened had the story not come out. I'm sure they would have put a lid on it, covered it up, and it would have gone away. And these men would have learnt their lesson. But unfortunately, when they were confronted, or at least one of them, they denied that the affair was going on. And it took them too long to come clean.
Far from the first people to deny, in married people, to deny that they're having a relationship or having an affair. Do you get sacked for not telling your boss the truth that you wouldn't tell your wife or
wonder what
husband?
That's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons, because they put their boss in an invidious position. As I say again,
would they have been sacked?
Oh, look, I'm not sure that they would have been sacked, no. But
so
I think
they're sacked for morality.
But, you know, sometimes it's a lot of reasons.
Or forced to resign.
So they were definitely told they had to go. It was a lot of reasons, and I'm sorry, and I, you know, I don't know Richard that well. Seemed like a reasonable bloke. I really like Simon, had a lot of respect for him, but in the end, once your authority's gone, you can't come back from
that.
Well,
the authority is gone at the moment for me because the CEO has walked off to a holiday in Europe. I find that just breathtaking. At a moment demanding leadership in the AFL, he has decided to go overseas. Yes, we're all entitled to a holiday, whether the CEO of the biggest sport in the country takes a holiday in the middle of that sport. Ordinarily, you would say, well, there's a strong management team already there. It's not going to fall apart without him. There's not a strong management team there now. Three of the senior managers have gone. Yes, the people left behind, Andrew Dillon filling in on footy ups, Ray Gunston.
Dillon's just come back from holidays himself.
Yes, but they are senior and respected people. Were they not fully occupied beforehand? They're now
well,
being
Ray Gunston
to do
certainly
more.
Is. I mean, let's talk about the issues going forward now for the AFL. They've got, obviously, some big decisions to make in footy. I mean, the future of the bounce is one. You know, I don't think the umpire's pay deal has been done yet.
AFLW.
The AFLW decision, which we know has been put off. There's question marks still hovering, and we'll talk about the match
stadium review
panel soon. Ray Gunston is company secretary. He's also the chair of Melbourne Stadiums Limited. He's dealing with the clubs. They're incredibly frustrated. The clubs who want to, by now, have done their financial predictions for next year can't do it because they don't know what they're going to get out of Etihad. They're frustrated. So a lot of things were put on hold anyway because of the length of time the players' pay deal took. And now it's all been put off even further. So I think what we must acknowledge is that Gillon McLachlan got these, if you say these men did the wrong thing and had to be sacked and took these jobs knowing they were transgressing, and that's the AFL's call, not ours, then you'd have to say he's got to make some very big calls now. And you've talked about Amit Baines as being in the box seat as one footy ops candidate and a good one.
I mean, we haven't spoken about Mark Evans, who is a right-hand man for Gillon McLachlan for so long and such a vital part of the AFL. Sent up to the Gold Coast, really, Glace, let's be honest about it, by the AFL to save that club, who is in crisis. They're now lacking a huge amount of leadership. The decision of who replaces Simon Lethlean as the next footy ops boss is Gillon McLachlan's, arguably his biggest decision in his tenure so far. I think Amit Baines is the early front runner, highly respected, has a legal background, was going for the head of fixturing job when Simon Lethlean was recommended to Michael Nettlefold at St Kilda by Adrian Anderson. He comes with huge raps.
Well, that all assumes as well, and you're probably right in that, but that all assumes that they don't take the opportunity to recast how they structure the executive or do something like this. They've lost people. Maybe they promote Andrew Dillon into a bigger role, almost like the former footy ops role was before they hived off integrity and these other elements. Do they have a big role there that he oversees, and they bring in someone beneath him to manage other areas? Perhaps that's what you do in a wider
Gillon McLachlan needs a Gillon McLachlan. Andrew Demetriou had a chief operating officer. Gillon doesn't have one. I'm not sure there's anyone at the AFL now who can do that job. But the way they've done business over the last week tells me that they're an organisation still in some disarray and they need a major restructure.
Well, an organisation crying out for a leader right at the moment, the one who should have been walking the floor this week, going to Sydney where the female employer was from, and and addressing the staff and being seen and visible and strong. Anyway, coming up, we talk about the footy.
Want more footy news, opinion and analysis? Head online to realfooty.com.au.
So he's being carried from the ground by two trainers, but this is drama at its highest level for Geelong.
Danger territory for Danger. Danger territory for the Cats. His broken foot, broken arm, broken leg, strapped up head, the whole lot. What do you think, Sam? You've been talking with the Cats. Does he play?
No, I don't think so. I think you could essentially put a line through him. They need for him to rest before what could be an epic final series. You know, the temptation for Dangerfield to play is there, but the earliest he could train would be Friday, the day of the game. So would be a minor miracle if he played.
What do you think of the impact then, Caro, of...
I think the impact, before I looked towards the Adelaide game, the impact of what he did in being moved to full forward, I mean, maybe it will change the way coaches think about the full forward position that we've all missed so badly. Maybe in accidentally there's been a reshaping of the way teams are structured. I mean, Alistair Clarkson's comments after the game of how they just didn't know what to do, I thought was absolutely intriguing. I think, I mean, if there's any doubt over him, he definitely shouldn't play. And neither should Rory Sloane, by the way, Sam. And I know Gary Lyon was very strong on that the other day on Breakfast Radio. Look, I just think that this game is going to... If Adelaide can't beat Geelong on this occasion... And they've struggled in the past few occasions. I don't see when they're going to beat them.
Yeah, well,
if they do beat them, I think they deserve to be the premiership
favourite.
At home
favorite. On Friday night, it's the big occasion for them to do it.
Exactly.
Juddy was really interesting. I spoke with Juddy this week about this idea of Dangerfield going forward, and would it be the moment that opened the eyes of other teams to how to use it? And he said, well, look, yeah, the problem is that if you do it, most of the time you're going to end up with 17 v 18 up the field. If you try and keep one guy deep and his defender will sit up the field ahead of him, hopefully, and pointed to Gibson on Franklin in the 14.
But isn't Geelong planning on doing that if they get Gary Ablett next year? I mean, isn't that going to be... I believe there are still genuine doubts about how that deal can get done, and I think both Gold Coast and Geelong...
You don't think it will get done?
I think there are problems have emerged that we didn't know about before, and I think Geelong are very much aware of that. I think that, but that's the hope. If Ablett does get there, it's the role he will play. And it's interesting what Chris says, but until we saw it in front of our own eyes last Saturday,
when he sort of pulled the rug from Luke Hodge, that was the moment that it was the most riveting bit of football for the
year.
It's
like a piece of history, wasn't it? Particularly in the context of Hodge's retirement announcement, etc.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And they will use it again, as Chris said, but they probably won't be a weekly thing. But Danger isn't the only one that's been in Danger territory this week. Let's have a listen here.
I can tell you firsthand from even before the MRP was the MRP, I'm talking about tribunal days, it has always been lenient towards the better players of the competition and those who are favourite for the Brownlow medal.
Well, Sam, you were with the Duck on Talking Footy the other night, talking Dusty and the match review panel. You were strong that no, it's there's not one rule for the star and one rule for the other. Duck, being that star player, thinks there is.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I'm not talking out of school here, but Duck, you know, off air, is adamant that when he was playing, and if he was ever reported, he would go into the tribunal, and within the first 5 minutes, he would know if he was getting off or not, because there was, in his opinion, favourable circumstances and a set of rules from the tribunal towards stars of the game. So he comes from a very different time in football.
It was a different match review system. It was a tribunal system. Yeah, but yes, essentially, it's still the same point.
I find it staggering, to be honest, that unless he knows something, that he or anyone else is willing to say that there are different rules for different players, because that is, at the very core, questioning integrity of people that sit on that panel. And that would be akin, Glace.
Not so long ago, you would have been sued by the AFL for even making that suggestion.
But Caro, wouldn't...
We're a different organisation now.
If his name was Mick Martin, not Dustin Martin, does he get off? I think he doesn't. Well, not off. Does he get done for striking instead of making contact carelessly in the head vague region and a fine?
How on earth can they say that was not intentional? Is what you're saying. I mean, it doesn't, and they say it was an open hand. Yeah. Is that right? I don't know how they know that because there was no vision, but anyway.
There's vision of three fingers around his cheek that doesn't represent a closed fist.
But you don't have to have a closed fist for a strike.
And it wasn't. It was clearly intentional. Look, I'm so happy that he's going to be still in contention for the Brownlow, as I am regarding Fife and Dangerfield and Sloane and every player.
And playing this week. I mean,
But, you know, having said all of that, it's impossible not to draw that conclusion. Absolutely impossible. And Wayne Carey is in a far better position than us to comment on
it.
But I reckon the general public would agree with him 99%.
And I think you're right. I think the general public would agree.
There's also another element to this which I find interesting, which is that 1 week for Dusty is actually much greater penalty because he is a Brownlow favourite than it is for Jack Martin, not Dusty Martin. Like he is, because it's a bit like going for a week in the finals, where if you happen to, for the same offence that you might miss a week in round eight, you miss a prelim final. That's a much greater penalty. For Dusty, it's a much greater penalty to go for a week for the same sort of incident.
Because he misses the Brownlow.
Because he misses
the Brownlow. But that shouldn't come into it. The one thing thing we should point out is, and I watch him a lot, he's one of the cleanest players I've ever seen. It was so out of character, and it's not as though he's a recidivist. I mean, he never is violent on the football field, Dustin Martin. Someone tried to say to me once he was a dirty player. I said, what are you talking about? He's never hit, he wouldn't hurt a fly, Dustin Martin.
And that is the other thing which I know they can't take it into account. They can't take provocation into account. But Robertson behaved like an idiot all day, you know, running around kneeing players, headbutting, you know, trying to whack. And I've got great sympathy for what Hardwick said about, you know, just elbowing and bashing players in the back, and that's okay. But then when the player retaliates, he's done for it. Well, yeah, you don't want to see a player swing and hit someone in the head, and the AFL has said that. But, you know, Robertson was he was crying out to be hit at some point. Not in the head, but he was crying out to be dealt with. He was trying to pick a fight the whole game. That was his tactic.
I thought the kneeing incident for me was disgraceful. I thought you should have got a wait for that and the headbutt.
Coming up, Just Between Us.
I'm Sam McClure.
I'm Daniel Cherney. And this is Just Between Us.
Hello and welcome to yet another edition of the award-winning Just Between Us. I'm happy to say that after a couple of weeks off, the A-team has finally reassembled. Sam McClure and Daniel Cherney. Daniel, welcome.
Thank you very much, Sam. And Just Between Us, we do love an eyebrow raise here on Just Between Us.
We love an eyebrow raise.
And eyebrows have been raised about a recent dinner between a management company and a football club. Mm-hmm. It's an AFL player management company where the bill was believed to have racked up in excess of $1,000.
Oh, they're in a drinking grange.
I believe so.
Goodness me.
Certainly some very nice wines. And
they're discussing a high-profile player?
I think there are a few high-profile players that are on this management company's books.
Ooh.
So possibly. But yes, I think the management company paid, but either way, I suppose if that would put a big hole through the club's footy department cap if the club had paid.
Hey, speaking of player managers,
yes, Sam,
and money, we're coming up to a very important time of the year where clubs want to know if players are going or staying.
Fans do too.
Fans certainly, everyone in the football industry really. And speaking of eyebrows raised, has raised a few eyebrows amongst footy clubs that several high-profile player managers have all gone away at the same time. Tom Petroro, Paul Connors, Robbie D'Orazio, Tim Hazel. Ned Guy. The list goes on. Why are they all away, Daniel?
I think they're just following the lead of some football's biggest characters like Gil McLachlan, Eddie McGuire, and even Caroline Wilson.
Oh, good. I'm glad we got her in there.
Just Between Us. Now, Sam, Just Between Us, the Brisbane Lions are heading over to play Fremantle in Perth soon.
Yes.
And they're looking to build a training base. And Just Between Us, I think they might have a bit of a sneaky look at the Dockers training base.
Invited or uninvited?
I'm not quite sure, but they'll have a bit of a look.
Bit of a peek over the neighbour's fence, if
just,
you don't mind.
Just to prepare, is the, you know, just what due diligence, I suppose you'd say, Sam.
Another juicy edition of Just Between Us.
Thanks, Sam.
Between Us. You're listening to the Age Real Footy Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and leave a review on iTunes.
Welcome back. Expensive dinners. Clearly someone's been with Caro in Paris picking up the Beaujolais.
Nothing to do with me.
Let's move on.
Nothing to do with me. I pay for my own dinners.
More importantly, the top eight. We've got teams Swans, Demons, Eagles, St Kilda, Dons and Dogs for from 6 to 11 all a chance to claim at least two of those spots in the eight, if not.
Have you left out a club there? Is Richmond vulnerable at all? Looking at their fixture going forward, they've got a tough fixture.
I think Caro makes a really good point that not many others have. I mean, if they lose to the Giants this week, which is
they still haven't played Geelong, and they've got to play St Kilda again in the last round.
And Sydney, Melbourne and West Coast could all win. I mean, we know how even this season is, so ladder predictions are so tough. The teams below Richmond could all win, and then they're in danger, like everyone else, of slipping outside the eight.
Oh, you're not saying ninth for the Tigers.
I'm saying if they lose to...
Oh, that's hysterical, Michael.
If they lose to GWS... I'm not the one that brought it up.
I think Richmond are vulnerable because they've got a tough draw. And they weren't in 100% convincing against Brisbane, I've got to say.
I agree with that.
And the only top eight teams they've beaten are Melbourne and Port Adelaide. So I think they've been good against the other teams.
I'm happy with the Tigers. I actually reckon the Swans can still make top four.
So do I. Anthony Colangelo did a very interesting piece in The Age this week where he did a ladder predictor, essentially. And I don't think anyone else wanted to do it, to put your neck on the line, but he had five teams finishing on the same amount of points.
Yeah.
The two teams missed the eight because of percentage. I mean, whether his predictions are right or not, it just goes to show how tight it's going to be.
I think Essendon is such an unknown quantity. I mean, they can play like the way they did last Friday night, and yet they can be so disappointing and lose games like the Brisbane game. So I've got a feeling Essendon are better than we've seen this year. And I would go out and put my neck out and say Essendon will make it.
Yeah. There was interesting radio on the weekend. I heard TV Channel 7, Lee Matthews, there was discussion of Swans. He goes, yeah, I remember a team that won 16 in a row, won the flag. Goes back to his, 2001. Round 10 through, didn't lose a game. Well, the Swans are on that sort of run. I mean, the query on them is, can they sustain it? But as Lee said, well, why not?
What about the Dogs? Anyone here?
No, I'm not convinced.
I think they've been too unsettled this year. I think they just miss out.
And a team that's needed to get the momentum of Stars coming back in, there's, Stringer now out with a hammy. We don't know the Tom Boyd situation. The liver's been in and out. Has he get the fit? No, I think they're... Their percentage is too poor. When I think it's going to come down to percentage for that final spot in the eight, I don't see the
how damaging was Melbourne's decision, the fixturing decision to sell a home game to the Northern Territory, which they're going to do again next year, but to play Adelaide.
Yep.
I mean, that game should have been played at the MCG already had stadium, and I defy you to say that Melbourne wouldn't have had a much better chance of winning.
I actually picked them to win anyway. But
do they make the eight? They've got Port and the Giants in the next 3 weeks. Do we think they're
Giants aren't the Giants
football?
That we're thinking of? Like Giants' form line isn't great, and they've got injuries still. Nah.
Melbourne play finals.
I think that they. I'm going to put them on, by saying yes. I'm going to end up having five teams out of that seven that I'm going to say are going to make the eight. But
I say Essendon go in, and either Melbourne, Richmond, or St Kilda go out. I'm just not sure which
Saints
one it
go
is.
Out.
Not the West Coast, Caro. West Coast are eight.
I think they'll come good, and they've got enough home games to get there.
The home games.
We keep saying that, but they do lose them at home too.
Yep.
No, I reckon they'll make it. I don't think they can do much damage though. They've got too many issues. But the top four is the interesting one. I mean, that fourth team getting a double chance is huge. And GWS, they've just looked so vulnerable. And I still say they've got this disciplinary issue.
Yeah, they're third, Caro.
Yeah, well,
they
are
injuries,
now.
They're not playing that well. Everyone's knocking them, but they're third.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. But eventually you start.
So we
not
haven't been particularly
well.
Definitive here. Who do you think goes out?
I think.
Or does the eight stay the way it is?
I think Essendon will come in, and I think that West Coast might just miss out.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think Essendon does play, and I don't think St Kilda gets there.
I agree.
And I think Richmond stays in.
Nervously.
I'm not convinced by that. I think they're
you picked on me for mentioning ninth before. Now you've gotten them out.
No, they might finish 10th. I hope they do make the eight. I predicted them to finish in the bottom half of the eight, and on probability they will, but yeah.
I tell you what, I would just love to see Dustin Martin and Alex Rance on the MCG in a final this year. The way that they're playing this year, I think footy fans are owed that. They're two beautiful footballers.
Yeah, they are. Dylan Grimes and David Asprey are making Alex Rance look an even better footballer.
Mark Williams had a go at Alex Rance this week. He said he's been going down Media Street and he should stop. It's affecting his form.
I don't think it's affecting any form.
This is a bloke who put Dustin Martin in front of the cameras earlier this year. Anyway, I don't want to pick another fight with Mark Williams.
I think he might have just done that. All right, coming up, quick questions.
We want to know what you think. Get in touch at realfootypod@fairfaxmedia.com.au.
He's going to line up with a barrel to give him a lift if he nailed this.
Oh, he's thrown it on. He's nailed it. Is it going to go to Stern? Oh, that is unbelievable. Malcolm Blight. He got out.
Jaden Hunt. Time for quick questions. Sam, Jaden Hunt or Malcolm Blight, whose was better?
I'm probably not the right generation to ask this.
What, you never seen a video?
I've seen the video.
You never seen the beta tape?
I'll tell you something, though. That Jaden Hunt kick was special.
It was.
And it was special, Gleese, because it was after the siren, he had no other option. And it was almost like a release of the pressure valve to just go for glory. And
that's right. In a way that Malcolm Blight didn't, though.
Exactly.
He had to win the game. So his was better.
So Blight has to be better.
Kara?
Malcolm Blight 100 times.
All right, Kara, how worried should Carlton be about their inability to crack triple figures on the scoreboard? 27 rounds now, a club record for being able to kick 100 points.
Carlton have still got a lot of work to do, even though I know there's been an enormous amount of goodwill about their rebuild this year and last year. I think they've got some really good young forwards coming through, and I think as they shape this team, they'll be so better at defending by the time they work out how to play up forward, they'll be fine.
I think they should be concerned. Yeah. Yep, I do. I mean, you have to start scoring to win games of football, but I think we owe Brendan Bolton a little bit more time before we start being too critical.
Yeah, we do, but I'm not sure whether you completely learn being defensive if you're going to abandon playing two behind the ball effectively as you go on.
I think Gleese will see a subtle change in that towards the end of the year.
Nat Fyfe, free agent, no longer on the market. $7 million over 6 years, at least 1.2 a year, so probably even slightly more than $7 million. Was it a win-win for Frio and Fyfe?
Yeah, fantastic story. Fantastic for Fremantle. A massive statement of belief in that football club. Looking to the future with the new stadium in Perth. I think that the money is completely fair, and I don't think it's a coincidence that his form has. We've started to see the Nat Fyfe of old too in the last few weeks. I think it's. I don't see it as a. Obviously, there'll be a few Victorian clubs, and St Kilda will be one of them who are a bit disappointed. But no, great story.
Troy,
couldn't have said it better myself, Gleese. Great story. Great for Freo.
Yeah, I think he's left ridiculously when someone earns 1.2. I think that he's still left money in the cap there for them that they might have thought they had to pay for him to get someone else. Will Brad Scott coach North next year?
Still a genuine doubt about that for mine. I didn't think the comments by the chairman, new chairman Ben Buckley, I mean, he said all the things he had to say, but I just didn't finish reading the comments or hearing that interview or hearing Brad's comments when he did his interview thinking, oh, well, that's not a story anymore. I think it's a live issue, and I think he's very much in the frame for one of the coaching jobs that we believe will come up at the end of the year, Gold Coast or Collingwood.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Caro. I think there's genuine doubt. I think he wants to be there if North genuinely want him to be there. But if another job like the Collingwood one comes up, I think he almost has to be in the frame for it.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he'll coach North next year. I think he could coach a long way North at the Gold Coast. Are you surprised that Will Sutherland's decision to pick cricket over footy?
Staggered, in a word. Yeah. In good on Will, by the way, because he's obviously in love with cricket and that's his decision. But talking to AFL people and talking to recruiters, I mean, he was a top five prospect, really. He was a genuine star. I've been lucky enough to see him twice in the flesh. And I want him selfishly playing football. I want to see him playing in the MCG in the biggest games. So I was surprised, yeah.
Yeah, I felt that Alex Keith, all those years ago, who I watched play a lot of footy, when he was a schoolboy, I was convinced he would end up playing footy, and he was a top 10 draft pick who I think definitely would have gone to the Gold Coast. I hope it works out better for Will than it did for Keithy, and I'm sure that it will, pardon the pun, but I too, talking to the AFL people I knew before I went away. I was convinced he was going to choose footy. So it's a big win for cricket.
Yeah, I thought pragmatically you choose footy just because of the number of contracts, the likelihood of success there. And if it doesn't work out, you've still got time enough in a career to almost catch up on cricket. So
I wish
in that
you could
sense,
still
but
do
I do
both.
Like the idea that someone, yeah,
oh,
I do
wouldn't
like
it
the
be
idea
fantastic
that they follow
if you...
their heart. And that's what I love more. That's what I want to do.
But wouldn't it be great if you could have Simon O'Donnell back again? You know, just a bit of both. I mean, it's just such a wonderful story. Yeah. And, oh, I think it would have been great. But I know those days
are
gone.
It'd be great if money were growing trees as well. It'd be fantastic.
You can always dream.
Hopefully it'll be the next great Australian all-rounder rather than the next Shane Watson. Anyway, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for joining us, Caroline Wilson. Welcome back.
Who knows what will be on the agenda next week, what this great game will dish up,
Will
Sam?
We have an executive left next week?
And will the Tigers be closer to ninth than they are to fourth
no,
by
say
the end
that.
Of next
the
week?
The Tigers will win this week. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Troy.
Thanks, Gleason.
That's going to stick. That's going to stick. Thanks also to 3RW, Fox Footy and Channel 7 for the audio used in this episode. Get in touch with us via Twitter or Facebook and let us know lovely things by leaving us a review on iTunes. Thanks for listening and we'll catch you next week. You've been listening to the Age Real Footy podcast. To keep up with us, subscribe via iTunes and get all episodes delivered straight to your device every Tuesday. And you can get in touch with us at realfootypod@fairfaxmedia.com.au.